Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
And I want to show you that when you speak in tongues, it is your spirit speaking mysteries to God. It is not you giving a message. It is you speaking to God. If you have the gift of tongues, you are praying, you are praising.
What does the Bible have to say about the gift of tongues? Today on Practical Christian Living, we are studying the real meaning and purpose of the gift of tongues because there's been much misinformation and misuse about this gift of the Holy Spirit. With Acts chapter 2, 5 through 21, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Father, thank you so much for your word. It is rich, it is deep, it is powerful, it's meaningful, it's profound. It is our authority by which we live by. And so we pray now that your Holy Spirit would help us to have a good understanding as to what we're finding in the book of Acts. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we make our way through the book of Acts, there are going to be several places where we run into the gift of tongues. And I thought rather than trying to deal with them quickly each time we find them, that I would take some time here in the beginning of the book of Acts and I would dive into what tongues are and what tongues are not. It is a divisive topic. There are those who believe that tongues are no longer for today. They are called cessationists. They believe that tongues have ceased. And I want to defend these guys a little bit because I hear people say that those churches are dead and that they don't believe in miracles. I actually heard someone say this last week about cessationists. They don't believe in miracles. I assure you they do. They believe that God can move and God will move and God is moving on the hearts and lives of people. On the other side, there's the spirit-filled churches who believe the gift of tongues are for today. And there's, on the extreme fringe of that, churches that platform tongues. Tongues is the thing they're about. They put them out front. And that, according to what we're going to study today, is wrong. It's wrong to platform tongues. The places that you find tongues in the Bible is you find Jesus speaking about it in Mark 16. You find it comes up in the book of Acts on several different occasions. And then you find direction towards the church at Corinth about tongues. You don't find it in any of the other books. Colossians and Ephesians and Hebrews and Romans don't deal with the gift. Why? Because the church at Corinth was wild. They were crazy. I heard somebody did a study on the church at Corinth and he entitled the study Church Gone Wild. Paul said to the church at Corinth in the very beginning, I wish I could talk to you as to spiritual, but you are not. You are carnal. He calls them carnal in the very beginning. And they were pushing tongues out front. And so Paul spends all of chapter 14 in the book of Corinthians grabbing a hold of the reins and pulling them back and getting them to try to get tongues back into the proper place. We are not to platform the sign gifts. That's not what we're about. We are to platform Jesus Christ, the work of God, committing your life to Him, living for Christ. That's what we're about as a church. Doesn't mean we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We consider ourselves to be a charismatic church. I like to say, and I got this from a guy named Ruslan KD on YouTube, we like to say that we are charismatics with a seatbelt. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit, but we want them to be done decently and in order. Now, the title of our message is A Biblical Overview of Tongues, and that's what we're concerned about. Why is it that some of the Spirit-filled churches add things to the Bible? We'll say things like, tongues are the evidence of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to show you a passage, a couple of them, that will show you that not every believer gets tongues. But some spiritual churches will say every believer is going to have the sign of tongues. Why do they do that? Because they believe in something called special revelation. I don't have a problem with special revelation. This is where God speaks something to your heart, reveals a truth to you in your heart. I don't have a problem with that. I think that you guys have had experiences like that, where God has just spoken something to you. The problem is when you put special revelation as high as Scripture. Now you've got a problem. You can have the gift of teaching. You can have the gift of prophecy. You can have the gift of knowledge. None of those are as high as Scripture. Why? Because Scripture has been vetted for 2,000 years. The canon of Scripture is trustworthy, has been attacked, has stood its ground. The special revelation that the sign of the Holy Spirit is the gift of tongues, that person hasn't been vetted. How long have they been around? What are they doing? And we need to realize that when the gifts of the Spirit are operating, men can get involved and say wrong things. So it should never be an authority. So I wish that the Spirit-filled churches that are taking special revelation and lifting it as high as the Bible, I wish they would cut it out. Now, I liken that to the Catholic Church, who takes tradition from the papacy and tradition throughout church history, and they put tradition as high as the Scriptures. And so they end up doing unbiblical things as well. They end up praying to Mary and praying to saints, calling someone Father. Jesus said, don't call anybody on earth Father. So they do those things because that's their tradition. And they put tradition as high as the Bible. Many Christians in the Catholic Church. In fact, in the 1970s, there was a movement, a charismatic Christian movement in the Catholic churches. God did a great work there. I wish they would put tradition underneath it. I'm not saying that tradition has no validity. I'm just saying it's not the Scriptures. And when the Scriptures contradict your tradition, then I wish they would just go with the Bible. It would make the Catholic churches so much more biblically sound. Same thing with spirit-filled churches. Just take your special revelation and lower it under the Bible. I'm not saying God's not revealing anything to you. I'm just saying it's not the same as Scripture. Scripture is the means by which we trust in what we're saying. Now, here's what I want to do, and we'll see how much time I got. I'm going to talk 2.5 times faster than I normally do to get this done. Last night, I was able to take my time. I want to go through this passage. I want to show you a few things out of it about tongues, and then I want to go into what the Bible has to say. And I'm so glad that Corinth was out of control. It's a crazy thing to say. I'm so glad that they were a mess when it came to tongues, because Paul's got a hold of the reins and helps us to know how we should operate with the gifts of the Spirit in the churches today. And I want to show you also that the gifts of the Spirit still are for today. That's one of the things that I want to show you as we make our way through this. So verse 5, this is after the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're in probably the temple area in a room. The Holy Spirit comes upon them. There's a sound as if the rushing wind and divided tongues of fire that are on their head. The divided tongues of fire are a representation of the presence of God in each one of the disciples or followers of Christ. The rushing wind is the Holy Spirit. It is neither an analogy or literal. It's not literal wind, and it's not an analogy of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit blowing in. That's what it is. And when that happens, well, here's what we find in verse 5. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in their own language. So they hear the sound of the wind. They come in and they hear everybody speaking in tongues, but they all hear them in their same language. Now, we don't know what's happening here. There's some 120 Christians at that time. We assume they were all there. Let's just assume they're all there. Are they all speaking in different languages? Does the Holy Spirit come upon them so they're speaking in these different languages so people from there go, he's talking my language. They're talking my language. Or was this them speaking in tongues and them hearing it in their own language? We don't know, but there's something supernatural happening here. So they each heard them speaking in their own language. Verse 7, then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are these not all who speak Galileans? That's a little bit of a slam. Galileans were the hillbillies of their day. These guys are from Judea. And they're like, aren't these guys all hillbillies? Aren't these guys all Galileans? And how is it now that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Lydia adjoining Cyrene, visitors of Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own language the wonderful works of God. Now, first of all, that's quite a list of languages that they're hearing in their own language. This is God fulfilling Old Testament passages that say, I will speak to them in the tongues of other languages. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It looks like a one-time event like this. We see tongues again, but never like this. It seems to be something that is different. And what did they do? The end of verse 11, they heard them speaking the wonderful works of God. And I want to show you that when you speak in tongues, it is your spirit speaking mysteries to God. It is not you giving a message. It is you speaking to God. If you have the gift of tongues, you are praying, you are praising. People say, well, is there a gift of prayer in tongues and then a gift of speaking in tongues? No, it's the same. There is the gift of tongues, which is your spirit speaking mysteries to God. And they were speaking the wonderful works of God. And wherever we have a reference to what they were saying in tongues, they were magnifying God, they were lifting God up, they were speaking of the wonderful works of God. So I have 5 years at least of experience in spirit-filled churches. One of them in a hyper-charismatic church, and the few other years in a solid Assembly of God church, in a solid Foursquare, which was Trailwood Park Foursquare in Albuquerque, which was a solid Pentecostal church. And I can tell you that I often heard people fire off in tongues. In fact, I had to tell my friends in the Trailwood Park church especially, when I invited them to church, I was witnessing. I said, come to church with me. Now listen, this might have been part of the reason they even came. There's going to be this lady, and she's going to fire off after the third or fourth song. It's this high, shrill, she talked normal when you talked to her. But when she spoke in tongues, it was like, so I tell them, that's going to happen. And then somebody else is going to say, thus says the Lord, and then we're going to move on. I just wanted them to know before they came, so they weren't like, what's going on here? Well, when we would hear, thus says the Lord, the tongues would go off, then somebody would say, thus says the Lord, God's going to use Trailwood Park Foursquare Church, God's going to anoint them, and God's going to use this to touch hearts. That may have been a prophecy. I'm not saying it wasn't a work of the Spirit, but it wasn't the interpretation of tongues. The interpretation of tongues will always be a praise, speaking the wonderful works of God. So at our church over the years, we've been here for 38 years, and we've had a few occasions when people have spoken in tongues, a couple of times in main services, but most often in afterglows that we used to have years and years ago. So in our service one time, we had someone speak in tongues, and we waited. You wait for the interpretation. And so we waited, and there was no interpretation. So finally, I came up to the pulpit, and I said, listen, we didn't get an interpretation, so there'll be no more tongues today. We're not going to have any more gifts of tongues today because we don't have an interpretation. If someone does that today, what would we do? If Christine's leading worship here with her group and somebody starts just talking in tongues, she would stop. She would. Hopefully it doesn't happen during the song, by the way. Let all things be done decently and in order. So at a point someone does that, there's no need for us to freak out and go, oh, what's happening here? But we would wait. And if we get an interpretation that is a praise, then we know we got the interpretation and we'll move on. If not, she or someone else would say, let's not have any more tongues today because we don't have interpreters that are here. So tongues are you speaking to God. They are not God speaking through you. That is prophecy. Now, they heard them speaking the wonderful words of God. Verse 12. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? So some of them were like, this is amazing. What could this mean? Others mockingly said, they are full of new wine. These are the kind of responses we get from people about the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit today. There are some who say, whatever does this mean? They want to know more. And there are some who say, these guys are mocking. They're full of new wine. They mock it, what's going on. And so it says then, they are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea, remember they're Galileans, Judea are people around Jerusalem, men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words, that these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. And I think that's a poor excuse for not being drunk, by the way. It's only 3 a.m. That's how you can know we're not drunk. We don't have Ephesians yet, which says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. But still, it's only the third hour. We're not drunk. And then he says in verse 16, but this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Now he turns to Scripture. And this helps us. Whatever we believe about the move of the Holy Spirit should come from the Bible, should come from Scripture. That's what we believe. We should always say, this is what was written of here, and give the citing for it. Peter, gives us that example. They're wondering, what's going on? We got the gifts of the Spirit that are operating here. What is this? It's what the Bible says here, not what special revelation says, not what we've done traditionally as a church, but this is what the Bible says. So he says, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, God says, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. He means all Christians, not non-believers. The context makes that clear. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, supernatural. Your young men shall see visions, supernatural. Your old men shall dream dreams, supernatural. And on the day your men servants and maidservants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. So everyone who serves God, men and women, and they will prophesy, supernatural. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor, and smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I love that that's the result of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And notice that these last days in which the Holy Spirit is poured out is all the way until the coming of Christ. The beginning of the birth of the church age, Acts chapter 2, all the way until Christ returns, which is the end of the church age, the Holy Spirit is poured out on the church. We could call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the receiving of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is probably the most biblical. The upon experience of the Holy Spirit, we are going to be empowered. Now let's take some time to talk about what tongues are. First of all, Jesus is the one who brought it up. This is in Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. He says, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. Now right away we see that these signs are going to follow those who follow him. Not every Christian casts out demons, but some do. He says they will speak in tongues. Same thing. Not every Christian speaks in tongues. I'm going to show you a passage that says that, but some do. They will take up serpents. Praise the Lord, not every believer takes up serpents, but some do. And if they drink anything deadly, and by the way, it's not in worship. Don't go to a snake handling worship service, all right? People get bit by them rattlesnakes and die. Don't do that. That's not what this means, all right? And some will drink deadly poison, and it will by no means hurt them. That didn't happen to everybody, but some do. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Our God is a God who still heals. And some believers will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. I have seen God heal cancer. I've seen God heal lung cancer. My wife passed away in 2012 from lung cancer. Her mother had lung cancer before her. They biopsied it. It came back as cancer. They went in, took out the lobe that the cancer was in, opened it up, and it was gone. We had anointed her with oil and prayed for her. There's a book by Lee Strobel called The Case for Miracles. Lee Strobel wrote the book, The Case for Faith and The Case for Christ. He's a journalist, and he goes and documents miracles. These are miracles that are documented. They happened, and he interviews the people and the doctors. I want you to know that God moves today in miraculous ways, and they are documented among us. There's a book by Craig Keener called Miracles Today. He also has a more scholarly work, a two-volume book called Miracles. If you are skeptical, if you believe God doesn't move, if you believe there's no documented cases of miracles, then start with Lee Strobel's book, work your way over to Miracles Today by Craig Keener, and then go to the two-volume set. Listen, it's going to light your world up. It's going to help you to realize God moves. It's going to excite you as you read it. You're going to go, I thought God wasn't doing anything, but God's doing things today. He's still moving. Not everybody gets healed. God doesn't heal everybody. He never says he's going to. But we are going to lay hands on the sick, and they are going to recover. And you should pray, if you've got something going on, that God would heal you, because God does heal. Now, Jesus brought it up, and then in 1 Corinthians 12, we get a description of the gifts of the Spirit. Here's what it says. 1 Corinthians 12, 4. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. So there's all kinds of different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences in ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works in all. That is, that the gifts of the Spirit work differently in different places. So that I have the gift of teaching as a pastor, I like to believe I do. Over in the Sunday school is another person that has the gift of teaching, and they're teaching, 12-year-olds, but God's using them in a different way. Someone's teaching at a home fellowship, and they have the gift of teaching, and the gift works differently. So there's diversity of gifts, diversity of activities, and they're done in different ways so that God uses the gifts like a combination. They don't always work the same. You can't go by your experiences and say this is exactly how the gift works, because with someone else it may work differently. Just think of different teachers. Different teachers have the gift working differently in each individual, right? It goes on to say that these gifts are a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It says, but the same God works all in all. Then it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Manifestation meaning evidence. So God's going to give you a gift that is going to give you evidence that you have the Holy Spirit. It is not necessarily tongues. There's Spirit-filled churches who tell you everyone that gets the gift of the Spirit speaks in tongues. No, they don't. I'm going to show you that. They also say, some of those churches say, unless you speak in tongues, you're not saved. To which it's like, that's nuts. That's out of pocket. That's aberrant Christianity. The crazy thing is that's those same Spirit-filled churches that teach that you've got to speak in tongues to be saved. You could bring them to argue against baptismal regeneration, which says the miracle of salvation happens the moment you're baptized, and they would battle that really well. But they can't see it in their own tradition that salvation is not by any work. There's no connection. And it even says not everybody speaks in tongues, but there will be a manifestation. Let's read through these manifestations really quick. For to one, and these are for the profit of all, for one is given the word of wisdom in the Spirit, to another knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. There's a gift of faith, to another gift of healings. Notice it's gifts of healings. In other words, God gives an individual a specific gift to heal one individual. It's not a gift that I can go around and heal anybody I want. It's I'm praying, and sometimes God uses that and gives someone gifts of healings. He may give one person gifts of healing several times, but it's gifts of healings that he has to have. He doesn't just have the gift of healing. He has to be given gifts of healings to heal individuals. All right? I realize I'm getting in other areas outside of tongues, which I don't have time for, but here we go. By the same Spirit, to another workings of miracles, that's a gift, prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, that's a great one to have, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things. Now, we do not all have the gift of tongues. This is important because many of the Spirit-filled churches say we do, and they try to get everybody to speak in tongues.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evening at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and noon. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.